You're listening to a Fat Gatsby One-Shot on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special Fat Gatsby presentation of a WrestleMania 31 preview. Hooray!
Yay!
There you go.
Woo-hoo.
All right, and joining me today is Darren DeMarco.
Hello, everyone.
And Robert V. Aldrich.
Good morning.
Hi there. We are here to talk about, this will be this coming Sunday, so six nights away, as Michael Cole would say.
Sunday.
The showcase of the immortals, the show of shows, the grandest stage of them all.
You're doing a better job building it up than they are.
Proper nouns.
Sadly, that's not an accomplishment.
That's true.
But yeah, WrestleMania is obviously like the biggest wrestling show of the year when WWE pulls out all the stops to put on some big, ridiculous stadium wrestling extravaganza. And us three, as wrestling fans, are gonna talk about it, and what our thoughts are on what the show looks like, and blah 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 blah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Let's see. Where to begin?
Yes.
Where to begin? Well, okay. Here's the thing to begin. So like most of the matches, I think, if not all of them, have been announced at this point. There's no tag title match on the card yet.
I thought
the
greatest team in the world was taking on the Usos yet again.
Is that? I was looking over the WrestleMania card yesterday, and there was no tag match listed. I kind of assume
maybe
that there will
the
be one, and just give it. Yeah, I kind of assume it's going to be on the pre-show for sure.
Yeah,
tag gets no respect right now.
Yeah, But what I thought, because the way they've been building it, is they're trying to build some kind of a four-way tag match with Cesaro and Kid, that's the greatest team in the world. The Brass Ring Club. the Usos, the Los Matadores, and the New Day.
New Day.
That seems like where they were headed, but I don't know if they've
I think the New Day that. Gimmick has imploded. Because I've been seeing
I think so.
Well, I mean, more so than most of their gimmicks do implode. I haven't seen nearly as much of them as I used to. I think Xander Woods has been really, really underutilized since he first appeared. Because when he first came out, he was playing up this whole nerd Power Rangers gimmick. And that completely disappeared. And it's a shame because it was engaging, at least. It was something new. And Big E and Kofi are just terribly wasted on that team.
The colors are just so bad.
For the first thing,
the music and the colors, it was just like, ugh.
If we didn't have the hilarious joke that we do about it, I mean, I think that stops it. It really is one of the worst gimmicks I have seen.
Oh, no, don't say that.
No, I have to say it. It's terrible. I think it's really awful. And if it wasn't for that joke that we have, I mean, I can't help but laugh every time we post or say New Day.
New Day.
But, oh my, they're going to, what is their quote? They're going to clap their way to the top.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
They said that. That is a thing that they said.
Oh my word.
Like a few weeks ago. And then.
Maybe the Ascension's not that dumb.
Yeah, those guys disappeared.
Well, yeah. I heard they were really good on NXT, but I see no evidence of that.
No, they weren't really good on NXT.
No,
they were pretty much the same. I think I initially thought they were hilarious just because of how stupid they were, but then, I don't know, whatever. Either way, they're not even anywhere right now. I don't know what the hell happened to them. They lost to the primetime players and disappeared.
The Ascension needs to fold in R-Truth, and they need to go back to the whole little Jimmy conspiracy thing and just commit to the
Robert.
End of the world conspiracy.
They might be listening to this. I don't think you should say anything.
Go full bore sci-fi channel absurdity and just embrace it. That would actually be really compelling, I feel. Not a, I mean, or they'd be entertaining, not compelling.
Couldn't be worse. So,
anyways, not? I really like Cesaro and Kid, so I hope no matter what happens, they don't lose.
I don't
lose.
Like Kid.
Oh, Kid is so great. He's such a dick.
He's a good wrestler. He's still a huge asshole.
Yeah. He's just playing it up more into his character. I don't know. He did a lot of good work on NXT to actually build himself into this smug, self-centered jerkwad.
Right. I don't like this.
Oh, well.
I would rather Kid get out and put Natalya in. Like Cesaro and Natalya? Yes.
Yeah. I think they function well as a tag team, too.
I'll agree.
Like, immediately they started implementing, you know, tag moves into their arsenal.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, how could that team not be good, the two of those guys?
Yeah.
But, you know, coming up with other team opponents that are going to have a good match with those two, that's far and in between. So,
yeah. Usos can't beat everybody.
You've got a team like Los Matadores, whom I really like those guys. I think they're really good, even if the gimmick's dumb. If they could get rid of El Torito... Which, sadly, he is stupidly popular.
Yeah, that's the biggest draw to them.
Yeah,
that's
he's kind of the center of that.
You get rid of that, they don't have anything.
Well, no, you've got two actually quite talented tag wrestlers.
Yeah, but nobody who watches WWE cares about that. They want, and I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about what people cheer for. They cheer for the bowl, and they want Cesaro to spin the bowl, I would guess. So that's if we see anything at this show... I would guess we're going to see the spinning of the bowl.
Well, you put
that's
it like
my
that.
Prediction.
My worry about that is if he spins the bowl too fast, he may throw him out of the ring, like over the top rope.
Oh, I know. That's what they're hoping for in the front row, maybe.
You could Granted, I would enjoy seeing that.
Well, you know, they'll get the pile of guys out there, and he'll just throw them on top of them, and everything will be fine.
Sure.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But this, isn't actually officially on the card. I just kind of assume it's going to be, so I thought I'd mention it.
Yes.
But all right.
Who knows?
So, anyways, moving on to things that are actually announced. The second annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which we know that winning this will catapult you to stardom, right?
Of course. Look how far.
Man, if you had told me.
Name it just the we are contractually obligated to have all these people show up, so we made one match to stick them into it.
It is. I agree with Robert. I mean, it's really just get these
guys
a payday.
Definitely.
Get them in there. And it's too bad because I'd rather see that time go to other things on the card and other matches, you know, give a few minutes more to certain people. But I don't like battle royals. There's everyone in the ring at once. It's not like it's booked like the Rumble where, you guys have a spot and then a third and fourth come in. They have their spot. It's just everyone in there going nuts. You know, the camera can't catch
lots of punching and kicking.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I don't expect much out of it till we get down to, you know, the final four or three people that'll be in there.
Yeah, if you had told me last year that Cesaro would have gone nowhere after the Battle Royal and the night after Raw, I would have told you were crazy.
Yeah.
But alas, here we are.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
I don't even know who's in it. I'm just kind of assuming it's everybody not in a named match.
I think
maybe it'll be Sheamus.
Sheamus.
That's a good guess.
Well, my thought has been Mizdow, that they're going to blow up the whole Mizdow angle for the end of it.
Mm.
And that's going to be his big moment when he finally physically turns on the Miz and chucks him out of the ring.
Gotcha.
But maybe not. I think I could see Sheamus returning for the Battle Royal. That seems sensible.
I think that would be a good idea to have the Mizdow turn then. I really enjoyed that whole storyline when it was JBL and HBK a few years ago. And the way Mizdow and the way Miz and Sandow have been playing it has been terrible, and it's only kind of worked as much as it has based off of Sandow's tremendous charisma and Miz's ability to be unlikable.
Which are
exactly say his praise, unlike with Tyson Kidd. I think Miz is a fantastic heel.
Yeah, I think he's been really good since he came back like last July. He's been just so obnoxious with the whole Hollywood moneymaker thing.
I have always thought he was great, even when he was doing his big push toward his Mania match, even though that show was not good. But I mean, look at what the guy did. Look at how well he rose to the top, how quickly. I always thought he was fantastic heel, and the them making him look like a geek is what kills him. You know, he always comes out of everything looking weaker. He always has to backdoor his way into stuff. And they just, for a while, they had him beating people with his move and coming out looking like a really strong asshole. And that's when they're on that track, they do well. And then they make him do too many goofy things, and it kind of ruins the character for me. So, I mean, I don't have much faith in them to give The Miz another shot. Like, I think he's kind of stuck in that mid-card.
Yeah, I don't see him going
roll now,
again,
but
yeah.
It's not a bad guess. I mean, I'm looking at the card here. They just added Mark Henry as well.
Okay.
I don't know if that means anything.
No.
You know, but just to have another big guy in there besides Kane and Show. And I mean, you know, I think having Big Show win it, that I think that was the obvious thing the first year. I don't think they'd tease that he'd win again. It's hard to pick. They wouldn't give it to Ryback either. You know,
well, because like last year, Cesaro was like a last minute entrant. Like, I don't even think he was advertised ahead of time. And like, as soon as the Battle Royal started and I saw him in there, I'm like, oh, Cesaro's going to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows?
I enjoy the idea of having the non-belt accolades. I think that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, like the King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And so I'm not opposed to the match in general, but so far it feels, again, like Darren and I have been saying, it feels like we just want to try to get the rest of the roster on stage for WrestleMania for 30 seconds if we can manage it.
It is.
I can't. That's why it's hard for me to even pick something storyline based for a winner here. I just don't think that matters.
I feel like the Miz-Mizdow storyline is the. I mean, they're both in the Battle Royal. They've been, you know, actually nurturing that storyline for a good 6 months now.
Yeah.
Going back even to like August, September when Miz was feuding with Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so this breakup has been coming a long time, and it seems like, I mean, I'll probably say this a lot where like I'll be like, I don't know how they could screw this up. But it's, if there's any storyline that's going to come to a head in this battle royal, it should be that one.
So do you think Miz or Mizdow is going to win it?
I think...
Just for the record.
I don't...
Listeners.
I feel like Mizdow would be a better moment, but I could totally see... Because, like, if he turns on the Miz and then doesn't win the battle royal, then, it, you know, it feels kind of... I don't know, but, I could see the Miz... You know, managing to get him out of there, and then they have a singles. It could be a thing where the Miz throws Mizdow out, and then Mizdow goes back in and throws him out, and then they have their singles match feud thereafter.
I almost think with their reputation at shows, they'd have it look like the Miz is going to win, and then have someone like Heath Slater throw him out at the last moment, or Curtis Axel. And then they win.
Axelmania's running wild.
Axelmania.
No.
So, I just that's the type of thing I expect.
I hate Curtis Axel.
Well,
Axelmania.
I'm sure there'll be some big presentation of it.
Oh boy.
Soul. Hopefully, that's when they'll cut away to a Snickers commercial for a pay per view we already paid for.
They are also going to have an entrant from NXT in the Battle Royal. I suppose that's worth considering.
No, it's not.
It is. They're doing like a tournament. I don't know, between like Adrian Neville, Tyler Breeze, Finn Balor, and Hideo Itami. So that it's possible. I think Adrian Neville's supposed to come to the main roster soon. So they could throw him in there, and then he wins, and that's kind of
what did he do?
Gateway. What does Adrian Neville do?
No, what did he do to get demoted?
No, he didn't get demoted. He started out in NXT.
He said he's in NXT, and now he's going to
he's
the main roster.
He's making a joke about bringing him up to the main
roster. Oh, gotcha.
Sorry.
Sorry, it was too clever. Too clever for
right.
me.
Robert and his clever NXT jokes.
Anyway. Who knows? All right. So, Intercontinental title match.
Woohoo!
Ladder match.
Yes.
We got Daniel Bryan, Stardust, Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper, Dean Ambrose, R-Truth, and Bad News Barrett.
Oh, who looks like he is in the best shape and condition of his life.
He is in good shape. I noticed that, like, on Monday, I was like, damn, he is cut.
Yeah, he has cut weight. He is moving faster and better than I think we've ever seen him. I've always liked Barrett, but I'm pretty jazzed now. Between him, Dean Ambrose, and Ziggler, I think there is in a ladder match, especially, I think there is a chance this could completely steal the show.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this match.
Yeah.
And I think Dean Ambrose put it best when he was talking about the IC Championship. He said, historically, the IC Championship has been kind of the working man's championship.
I thought Daniel Bryan said that.
Oh, maybe it was Daniel Bryan. I'm sorry. But I agree. I think the IC Championship gets a little bit more mileage, certainly, than the WWE Championship has recently. I had literally forgotten what that looked like for a time. But yeah, I'm real excited about this, and there's almost nobody involved in this match that I wouldn't be excited to see hold that title.
Gee, who are you not excited to see hold the title?
I really don't like Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that was the, I thought you were going to say R-Truth.
No, I actually like R-Truth. I wish they'd toned down his wackiness a little bit.
Oh my God, I have not been able to take him on commentary leading up to this. It's driven me insane.
Oh. He's not as bad as King.
No.
That's
not
much accomplishment either.
Oh, God. But anyways.
I'm a little tired of Daniel Bryan right now. I kind of want him to go on hiatus.
He just came back. He was on hiatus.
I understand, and I enjoyed it. And I want to miss him.
To anyone listening, I would just like to... I'm going to out Robert right now as a huge John Cena fan.
Yes, it's true.
It's like, oh.
Well, okay. Let me respond to some of this. This triple. First of all, geez, I don't know where to start.
Go with the John Cena fan part first.
No, that can come later.
Very quickly, I do. All right, we'll talk about John Cena later.
He has a match, I think.
Yeah. Maybe. For me, this match, I'm not to be negative. I'm not as excited about this. I mean, I feel like. It's rushing, now to Robert's point, it is rushing Daniel Bryan back too soon. They're throwing him, a guy who's recovering from major surgery, into this match where if he doesn't do crazy things, people are going to be disappointed. So he almost has to do all the ridiculous spots in this match because he is the biggest star in this group. I'm not very excited to see any of these guys. R-Truth's character is that now he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Dean Ambrose, but, you know, again, he's lost in the shuffle of this match. I mean, it'll be a nice big, excuse me, it'll be a nice big spot fest. I mean, but if Daniel Bryan doesn't win this match, I mean, who, how excited can you be about this? And this, does that make any sense for him to win the Intercontinental title?
Well,
I mean, that's another title. Like, Robert, you were saying, yeah, I forget that the main title exists too, if not for Brock in the past year. But, I mean, this title is like the trade around your favorite Pog title.
It's funny that you put it like that, considering the way the build has been the past couple months with them just like passing it around.
Yeah, why do you care who wins it at this point? They're just going to probably pass it around again. I pretend the title doesn't exist. So that's what I'm expecting.
Let's see. So bad news, he is the champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's been losing a lot of matches lately, which is unfortunate. And
it is.
Been made to look, which started off with him losing to R-Truth like out of nowhere like a month ago.
Yeah.
R-Truth, he's been Intercontinental Champion before, maybe, like years ago? Not recently. What's that?
I think everybody but Harper has been the IC champion.
Ambrose hasn't.
Dean Ambrose hasn't won it.
Was he US?
He was US champion for like a year.
Daniel Bryan, he hasn't won the IC title.
No, he has not. Stardust was back when he was Cody Rhodes.
Which they need to make him again.
I agree with Robert.
Dolph has been Intercontinental Champion recently a few times. Mm-hmm. Harper was for a month there, which is a bummer that Harper was for like a month.
Huh.
Like back in the fall, just, you know,
I must have blinked.
Yeah, well, like he won it right before Survivor Series, then lost it at TLC back to Ziggler, and then Ziggler lost it a few weeks later to Barrett, and it's just like, what is, yeah. But to Stardust, I don't know what happened to his feud with Goldust.
Oh, I think they just snubbed it out.
They had the one match, and I was like, oh, well, they are obviously going to rematch at WrestleMania, and then Goldust, like, disappeared.
Yeah, they dropped that.
The whole thing with the Rhodes family, I really liked. I just didn't enjoy. Like, it was like a high art film for me. Like, I understood what the Dusty Goldust and Cody were trying to do, and it was emotional, and I thought it was, you know, really, really well done and really, really well executed, but it just wasn't entertaining.
Yeah, the match was really flat at a Fastlane. That's what it was.
Yeah, but it was a technically good match.
Yeah,
but it was just and the promos that they were shooting behind the scene, you know, backstage and everything, were gut-wrenching and emotional. Uh-huh. But it just wasn't quite clicking. And so I see where they were going with it, and I liked where it was going, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it didn't work.
A lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. You got potential for great matches with those two guys, but you know, everything has to be silly.
Hang on.
Okay. I want to remark to that, Darren.
Remark.
Because it's really easy for us to attack, like, the WWE writers and the creative staff for killing gimmicks. And I think justifiably, I think they kill a lot of gimmicks that need more time and everything else. But this thing, I think the issue was with the story or the storytelling. Like, I really want to see some deeper storyline, some more personal, you know, narrative going on with the wrestlers. But this, you know, with what Cody and Goldust were pulling was exactly the kind of stuff I want to see as a fan of wrestling, but it just wasn't working. They needed to kill it because it was dragging everything down.
Right, but how? I mean, to me, how do you get that when Cody's talking about, you know, the stars in the universe and he's singing and things like that? How am I supposed to take him seriously? I don't.
You need it in the context, and I'm with you there. But I this is one of the times where this was a gimmick that they needed to bring to an end and sweep under the rug. Now, they need to get rid of Stardust. They need to go back to Cody Rhodes. They haven't completely gotten rid of the gimmick, which is a problem. But the feud between Cody Rhodes and Goldust, as much as on paper it looked good and looked like exactly the kind of thing I and fans like me want to see, it just wasn't clicking. They made the right call in this instance.
Well, so do you think he'll pull it out in the match then?
Oh, God, no.
No, I think your potential winners are either Daniel Bryan or Dean Ambrose.
Agreed.
It'd probably be smart of them to go with Ambrose, if they actually have plans for him afterward. I don't know what their plans with Daniel Bryan are.
I don't know if they know that either.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say either Ambrose or put it on Ziggler again, but, I mean,
that seems
they've tried that multiple times.
He was doing so well with it, but
what do they have against Ziggler? Do you guys know? Why don't they like him?
Go ahead, Tim.
You go on. I think you had more words for it than I did.
Guys that are kind of take things, you know, he's one of those guys, when he has a chance to cut a promo, he'll throw a lot of ad-lib stuff in. He'll try and do his own humor. He is one of those guys who he's very, you know, smart, open with the fans, and they don't like guys that do that. They like guys that, you know, stay close to the company line and everything, and he likes to go off the rails sometimes.
Yeah, he says things that they don't like. He's a bit too outspoken. I've heard in the past they don't like how hard he goes in the ring, like, every time.
That was the next thing I was going to say too. Yeah, yeah. He'll. I mean, look at the way he sells. The guy's going to kill himself sometime. I don't know if it was 2 years ago in Mania. The bumps he was taking was, I mean, it scares you sometimes. So it's a combination of those things.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. I don't agree with it, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at Shawn Michaels for example.
Yeah, I just want whoever wins to not be the guy who loses non-title matches left and right.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, and I feel like they wouldn't do that to Ambrose just because he is so popular and over already, or and I don't know, Daniel Bryan, they just like screwing over, so who knows. But I could see this weird dynamic when, you know, John Cena is also challenging for the US title, mm-hmm. where like he could win that and Daniel Bryan could win the Intercontinental title, and you have two, you know, former recent WWE champions holding the secondary titles.
Yeah, and that's actually a pretty good point, Tim. And I just want to add something that I think goes along the line with all the title matches anywhere is all that, right. And it's their thinking, and it's this idea that this problem they have with titles is, you know, the title doesn't make the wrestler makes the title. Mm-hmm. So they think like just putting the title on a guy is going to get the belt and the guy over. It doesn't work like that. You know, look at what Rusev's done to the US title, and we'll get to that. You know, look what Brock's doing for the main title. Like, people, it means something if the guy is over too. So you can't just throw it on mm-hmm. like Truth and be like, okay, you know, Truth's in the mix. He's got the title. So that's why, you know, I agree with you, Tim. Giving it to somebody like Daniel Bryan, who is over, and the belt might actually mean something if he holds on to it for longer than a couple weeks. That might be a good way to go.
It's just a matter of not losing when you have the title until you lose the title, I think, is kind of the most important thing that they don't do.
Make it a big deal.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, but it's like their atypical way of building title matches, at least on the second tier of the card, is people getting wins in non-title matches, be that tag matches, women's matches, whatever. Like right. that, yeah, that's how you build a feud. Like, oh, well, he just won a non-title match. He just pinned the champion. Well yeah, that happens like every month.
Yeah, make the champion lose. That's always a good plan, too.
So,
yeah, I'd say Bryan is probably the best bet.
Him or Ambrose, I feel.
I go with him or Ambrose, But you're going to get a bigger pop if they go with Bryan.
Yeah. All right, so let's get this out of the way, which is WWE's attitude towards it, which is the Divas tag match, AJ and Paige versus the Bella Twins.
I think the fact that the Divas champion isn't being defended says just about everything right there.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
Yeah, again, I think it's similar to the what they've seemed to be doing with the women is also let's get as many of them a payday as possible because, you know, Lord knows they're not going to do multiple women matches on WrestleMania in 2015. Yeah. So I think it was to get more of them in there. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I would have rather seen a women's title match, a good match between two of them. But they've always done that when they had Snooki come in a couple of years ago. Then they had six of them in there, or they had the invitational one.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, geez, take your pick here.
Well. To counter onto that, I think you may have an issue with the WWE. If they're approaching this as a business, which almost certainly they are, they're probably trying to think about this in terms of Total Divas, which is a hugely popular show and a huge success. And so they've got to have the Divas involved because they're going to need that for the next season of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
There may also be a dynamic that the people who watch Total Divas may be watching Raw and SmackDown, but they may not watch the pay-per-views. And so that may be part of why they don't push the Divas as much on the pay-per-views as they get pushed on Raw and SmackDown.
Do either of you watch Total Divas?
That's
not a judgmental question. I'm asking for my purposes.
Watched clips, but I do not watch the show.
Okay, is what they're doing at is the storyline for this leading up to this have anything to do with the show? Do the stories align so that because you're
watching they do at the moment
Total Divas, I mean, you're talking about a crossover audience that's going to order or already have the network and watch WrestleMania and expect to see some payoff from, you know, the hugely successful Total Divas show, which I think is a small audience.
They haven't
the crossover between the two.
They've, I think, been doing that a bit less lately with directly time because, you know, Total Divas is taped ahead of time. Yeah, so it's like when you have the current storylines catching up with what was happening, it's just totally weird and awkward.
It's a time paradox.
And AJ, you know, wouldn't go on that show if her life depended on it, so she's never involved in anything. But anyways,
does it make sense for the Bellas to win this match? I mean,
yes.
are they... just because they're featured on the show, you think?
Yep.
Or so that's your pick.
I think this match could go either way because, you know, they look at the balance of how many good guys versus bad guys are winning on the card, and this match, I think, could flip either way without much consequence. Mm. They might want to have AJ and Paige win just to do the whole, pin the Divas champion, now you feud next month sort of deal, the aforementioned. Or they'll do that during the rematch, but I don't know.
Disqualification, maybe.
Maybe.
AJ win or lose, God. But they win by, you know, headshot with a chair or something.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Oh, well, they are not going to do head chair shots at WrestleMania, I bet.
No, they won't. But
well, not in this
maybe
match.
All of our dreams will come through and Sexy Star will run through and get the title.
Yeah, but...
I would think they would probably give it to the Bellas on this show. Mm. I'd rather they'd have AJ and Paige win it. I think it makes more sense to have the Divas champion win a match at Mania, especially if it's not for the title. But I don't put it past them to put the Bellas over.
Do you know who the champion is right now, Darren?
Is it Brie or is it...
It's Nikki.
It's Nikki. See, yeah, I can't tell them.
Speaking of dropped storylines, remember when the Bellas were in like a blood feud back in the fall and then they weren't?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I guess that's done too.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great if this was like a fatal four-way match with Nikki having to face off against her past like three or four challengers?
That actually would be kind of compelling.
Yeah, well, they didn't do that, so whatever.
Yeah.
They did have a good match on Raw this past week, I will say that.
They did.
I didn't see it, did they?
It was Nikki and AJ. It was like freaking 10 minutes long. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, a good match.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Like not even like a good Divas match. Like it was a pretty solid just match, period.
Yeah. I think they are starting to give them a little bit more time and leeway recently. But because why not when you have a 3-hour freaking show?
Okay, man.
Yeah, I mean, Oh, wait, was this on Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I caught some of this. I mean, yeah, this is definitely a response to the give them a chance thing. Yeah. But I don't want to go on a tangent. I don't think the problem is giving them the time. Mm-hmm. It's as I was writing to you guys. What?
Because you're going on a tangent.
All right, no, 2 seconds. I don't think it's the time. It's like I said, they're not going to get any better. I'll watch the whole match, but from what I saw, it was okay. It wasn't great. They're as good as they're going to get. It's the training of the women. It's the type of wrestlers they get. So I don't think giving AJ and Paige or any combination of them is going to make a great match, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, my God. So. You've not seen enough Paige matches.
No, Paige is the best one out of all of them. But Brie and...
Natalia!
Natalia's really good. She's just
okay. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, Natalia.
She's not really in the division right now, anyway. So, no point.
Yeah.
All right. Why would you see? That's why I forgot about her. You're right. All right. Moving.
Well, yeah. The division disappears once you get, like four girls away from the title, or two girls. It's just like, well, whoever's challenging and everyone else is on Total Divas.
Right.
But the NXT girls. Up on this match, that's what I'd rather see.
That would be great if they just came in and just destroyed everyone.
That would be
Charlotte,
fantastic.
Sasha, Bailey, and what's her name, Becky Lynch.
That'd be fantastic.
Alyssa Bliss.
Do like some kind of invasion storyline, but with the NXT divas.
Oh my god, that would be great.
Sasha's great. She should be. Any of those women should be on the main roster.
What's funny is like Sasha and Charlotte were not that good a year ago.
No, and Charlotte's still okay, but I think Sasha Banks is great. I think Alexa Bliss could be
She can get there.
Yeah, so there's no reason they shouldn't be on the main roster.
Except on their, well, whatever. Anyways, moving on to the singles matches.
Woo!
Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins.
No one cares.
It's hard to.
I thought I'd care more, but then they had Randy Orton beat the shit out of Rollins like 2 weeks ago, and I'm just like, okay, well, that happened.
That was really stupid.
Yeah. They were totally weird with how they did the build for this, where Orton came back, and then he went back with the Authority, and then waited around 2 weeks, and then turned on them.
Maybe the 12-year-olds were spotting the plot holes, and if the 12-year-olds say, hey, wait a minute, they realize...
this seems weird and momentum killing and blah, 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 blah. Seth Rollins wins. Moving on.
Yeah. I know. I don't understand what they're doing with Randy Orton. And I don't... Yeah, I agree. I don't think it makes any sense to not have Rollins win if they want to actually do something with him. You know, pending the outcome of the other match we're going to talk about. But
yeah, I could see this match being very early. If this match is like in the first hour... watch out.
It probably, I mean,
I think this is going to be the first of the singles matches on. I figure like they'll open with, I don't know, this could be the first thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Randy Orton's a big guy. Yeah.
If they put the Battle Royal on the pre-show, I mean,
no.
They did the 1 year. That's the only reason I bring it up. But they might open with the Battle Royal because it's a chance to get a lot of pops and, you know, a lot of guys on.
To support that idea, the Rollins-Orton match could be a great match to start with. The two of them are really, really good, and they can put on a really excellent show. It's just it's just a match nobody really cares about.
But yeah, that's the thing. On paper, it has like the least stakes. Right. So and Randy Orton's popular enough that, you know, they get him out early, get the crowd engaged, everyone hates Seth Rollins, and they put on a good match, and then, you know.
Well, but that's the reason I think they'll open, though, because they usually like to open and get a big pop for the a face.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Opening match. So I don't think, you know, they'd have Rollins win it. But, you know, they like to mess with the crowd, too. So
we'll see.
But, yeah, I don't think it makes any sense to have Randy win this match. That would be stupid.
Yeah. Pretty cut and dried, that one.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully it'll be pretty decent, though.
Yeah. All right.
What's next?
John Cena challenges for the United States Championship against Rusev.
Oh my God, this is going to be... there's no losers in this match.
Well, it depends who you ask.
Rusev's great.
What's that?
I love Rusev. Rusev's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see Rusev and Cesaro go toe-to-toe. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I've kind of... been uncomfortable with the direction they've been taking Cena with this. He's been almost kind of going jingoistic. Not full Jack Swagger, real Americans. But I'm really looking forward to this. I think Rusev can push Cena in ways a lot of his recent opponents haven't been able to. I think this could be a very good match.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm you know, totally down with this. This match, I enjoyed the one at Fastlane. I keep wanting to call it high speed or, you know, over the limit or whatever. Well, they pulled it out of their ass. And it's replacing the very memorable Elimination Chamber. It's just like, oh, well, whatever. It's like Battleground. It's like, who cares?
Fastlane.
But yeah, Lana seems to have disappeared. Or at least she was gone this past week on Raw.
You hear him chanting, "We want Lana."
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Oh, it's. See, this is what I was going to say earlier, Robert. Is the last podcast Tim interviewed you on at Magfest?
Yeah.
I agree with all your sentiments about John Cena. Actually, it totally hit the nail on the head. He's one of the biggest guys there. He is the biggest guy there. He's the main guy there. He's a great ring general. You kind of need that role in this league. If he was gone, who would fill that role? Nobody right now. The other guy who would is leaving. But anyway, I mean, I hate John Cena's character. I like him a lot as a wrestler. He's fine. People who hate him, whatever. Yeah. You hate his character. The personification of John Cena is terrible. The actual ability, he's good. He makes the matches a lot of time. By the way, people love that Rumble match that he was in. You should credit him because he pretty much friggin' called the whole thing in the ring. So anyway, this is another one. Yeah, I love when they do storylines of I want a shot against you and I want that title, and Rusev just says hell no, and that's great. That's the story right there. That was like the Shawn Undertaker one the second time around. It's like, give me a match. Fuck you. You're not getting a match. And then he has to go through something to get it. And that, how could they screw that up? Well, the WWE could find a way. And they have. They bring out that stupid lawyer.
I thought that was great.
You thought the lawyer was great?
It was so bad.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I thought it was like intentionally like weird and hilarious. Like just
it was so bad that it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing. I thought
deliberate.
It was hysterical.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things that's, I mean, it's so funny where they find these awful people.
Just
because
it was meant to be, I just thought it was meant to be so, like, weird and stupid and, like, obviously bad.
And yeah, I mean, look, I would have been right there next to you laughing along with you about it. But it just sucks when it takes the people out of it so that they're chanting, "We want Lana."
Yeah.
And I think things like that, and as well as what they've done in the past few weeks, and that whole thing with Stephanie coming out and demoralizing Cena, that's really stupid too. Why would you do that? I don't understand. That's to get a rise out of the crowd. You know, that's to get a rise out of the people that, you know, think John Cena sucks and everything and chant it all the time. And I think this is just so simple. If they would have just kept it simple, you know, and they could have even drawn on, like, Cena, that's the U.S. title was the first title he won, and now he's going to get it back. You know, this is a big thing for him. But they didn't go that route.
They went
the silly route.
They totally mentioned that.
When did they? I don't think they did.
It was like a few weeks ago. Yeah, it was like very early on.
I'm saying more of a central part of the storyline.
Yeah,
now.
Okay. It might have been before Fastlane that was.
You're
mentioned.
Probably right, yeah.
But I do remember it was.
Well, yeah. To kind of piggyback on that, you mentioned earlier that the person makes the belt doesn't make the person. And I agree, and I think that's one of the benefits with this whole storyline. Cena's become very controversial because he has been heavily overexposed of late, and he got the ever-loving tar beaten out of him twice by Lesnar. It really doesn't make sense for him to go back into the running for the main championship, but he is over with a huge segment of the population, and he is a very good wrestler. Pairing him up with one of the, and I don't like calling them secondary titles, but the second tier titles, the mid-card titles, is a great way to revalidate that title. And it's a great way to have him out, to have him continuing to do what he does, but not take up space with the main event that can be going to somebody else whose career is on the build, like Dean Ambrose, or even let Daniel Bryan have some time. Cena's career is not over by any stretch, but he's been the champion way too much recently. Even Hulk Hogan wasn't the champion as much as Cena's been. And so I think this is going to be a great title. I think Rusev is seriously, seriously talented. I agree with everything Darren said about the manner in which they've done it. I would have loved to see the Authority play an almost good guy role in some of this. Have Stephanie come out rather than be demoralizing to Cena. She could have said the same stuff, but presented it in a, we as the company want to see this match happening. However, X, Y, and Z. The Authority as the hellbent for leather ultimate nefarity is really challenging to the suspension of disbelief. And since we're talking about wrestling, that's really saying something. The Authority has to validate the fact that these people are working for them, and they haven't.
That, you know, and that's a good point. And that's they've done that 100 times before. They did it. Look at the Vince and Austin stuff. You know, the whole thing was, I hate you, but you make me a shitload of money. So that's where the dichotomy lies in. And with this, it's just they run him down and call him a piece of crap. And you know, why don't they just fire him? And they don't treat him like he's the crown jewel, which he is. And I mean, yeah, I expect a good match out of it. I think they'll work a good match. I wish they had hyped it up a little more. Because if you're putting Cena down the card, you know, it should mean a little more. And I just don't think it does. It does not. Just by reaction wise, it does not have that impact that some of these other things do on this card.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think it means a lot to the Cena fan base and the little kids. Like they're hype no matter what.
So did we all pick a winner?
I feel like Cena probably wins.
Yeah,
because that's what he does 95% of the time.
Right.
I would think. Yeah, I would think it. he should win this.
Yeah. I could see the possibility of
Rusev
winning.
Well, if he
it
does...
It just seems like I don't know who beats Rusev after that then. Like, I don't know. That's crazy.
Well, that's the thing, though. If he does win, they do even Steven booking, so they're going to have Cena get his win back either at the next pay-per-view.
True.
If he loses. So I'd say Cena should go over.
Yeah.
I just think it'll be a fun match, and that's pretty much all I care about. Even
so.
One wins some game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be. It should be one of the better matches, I think.
All right. Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker.
That is the main event.
Yes. I thought the Bellows were.
So,
why do you say, Robert? Are you saying being facetious or?
No, I really don't. I think you got The Undertaker who is Bleacher Report ran an article just recently saying The Undertaker was the last great storyteller working in the WWE right now. And while I don't think that's entirely true, I think the virtues of him as an in-ring storyteller that they extolled are all completely true. And you
combine
that. Is that
the sentiment of the article, by the way? Is that he's in-ring storyteller? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Bray Wyatt is undoubtedly one of the most talented people that they've got coming up right now. And I think he is both narratively and in the real world shoot kind of style. I think he is a wonderful inheritor to what The Undertaker's been doing. I think this is a Rock versus Hulk Hogan kind of scenario. That would just be perfect. I think this is going to be a fantastic match. I think this could have long-standing repercussions no matter who wins. And I think this is just going to be fantastic. I want to see drama. I want to see thematics. I want to see special effects. I want to see that urn smoking and the lightning striking the chair. And,
you already saw that, I think.
I know, and I want to see it again. I don't want to believe that this is two wrestlers working. I want to believe this is the personification of the undead fighting the personification of evil. I want proper Greek storytelling told with fists, and I think that's what this is going to be.
Well, you are their target audience. I wish I had your hope, Robert. I mean, I just – it's tough. This is – I don't have the same feelings about this. I think Bray Wyatt's greatest strength is his delivery. And I think when you start paying attention to what he's saying, especially recently, it's like he's rambling. And nothing's got me really excited for this. I don't think it's plausible that he's going to win. So the excitement's taken out of it for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the past Taker matches. For me, let's see. Either since 25, either of the Triple H matches, nobody knew. Everybody expected Undertaker was going to win both of those. Mm-hmm. I didn't think if you talked to most people that you knew he was going to win. But there were those moments, like Triple H had him in the tombstone, and they were counting. And we, even in the room, we're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, he's going to pin him. And, well, it happened with Lesnar later. But I don't think they're going to be able to recreate a moment like that. And even that the Takers lost last year. So I don't understand where the drive for this match comes from. You know, and now it's not about the streak anymore. Mm. And Robert, that was the main event in the past four or five Manias was his streak match. Mm. So I'm just not getting that storyline-wise out of this. Now, to your point, it could be a pretty good match. Bray's pretty good. I don't think he's going to pull out of Taker at the age he is now. The matches that we've seen in the past from Shawn and Hunter. But I think it could be decent. I think it's going to be a good, midway through the show match that the crowd's going to go nuts for his entrance and for the theatrics. I'm not expecting a whole lot out of the match itself, though. But I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
We're obviously recording this before the last Raw before Mania, but to this point, Undertaker has not appeared on television. He has not been seen. But last year, I thought Undertaker looked like crap.
Yeah.
I thought he looked old as fuck last year. Yeah. I was just like, man, Lesnar is beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was not good.
And I wonder, you know, I do think it's unfortunate. You know, Wyatt has basically had to carry this feud with his promos, and I do
he's not on TV, right?
Yeah, I do think they let Wyatt talk on too much. They are too comfortable with letting him fill like about 3 minutes of TV time with just rattling on, where I think sometimes less might be more with him. But he can cut a good promo, no doubt, if he actually has something to talk about.
Yes.
Just sometimes, like, especially, I don't know, back in the fall, it would just be like, blah, 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 whatever.
And I ate butterflies. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
I could definitely, I mean, this would be heartbreaking for a lot of people. I could see a situation where it's like they have this match and Bray just, like, kills him. And, like, because, you know, well, let me tell you something, brother. like, when, you know, athletes in other combat sports or, you know, their time is running out, like, they have this period of where they look invincible, and then they just start losing a bunch of fights, and then they leave. This is not other combat sports, to be sure, but I could see a scenario where it's like Undertaker comes back for this match and everyone's behind him, and, you know, then Wyatt just wins. And I think it does a lot more for Wyatt to win. If he loses, then I don't know what. But then, you know, it's just like, who knows what Undertaker's situation is year to year. Like, he has to have a last match at some point. One you think they'd advertise, like, ahead of time. Like, this is going to be the Undertaker's last match. He is going to be retiring. Like, is he going to be able to go out with a win? Or is he, you know, is he done because he's lost these last two matches? Is he too far behind? He lost to Lesnar. He lost to Wyatt. Like, can he... does he still have it in him? And then you have like one last great Taker match and blah, blah, blah. But
I think
I don't
that's
know.
Probably what next year will be.
Yeah.
With everybody and their mother has been speculating that the next pay-per-view, the next WrestleMania will be Taker and Sting.
Ooh.
And that would be his last match.
Ah.
I mean, they almost should have done that this year if they're going to do it, because the impact of Sting is not going to be there next year. But I mean, look, last year could have, and at one point was going to be his last match. And I think that would have been fine to have him go out, even with the loss. But knowing them, you know, he hasn't, like Tim said, he hasn't been on TV. He only does a match once a year. Does it make sense to have him come back and just tell that story of, you know, but that's the problem. He getting the shit beat out of him and him never stopping is his thing, you know? So I don't understand. Like, this would have made more sense if Wyatt still had Rowan and Harper with him. And, you know, Undertaker trying to overcome
other things. I don't know why they broke up, but whatever.
To piggyback on that, Darren, to also support you, for the past 6 or 7 WrestleManias, I think, with the exception of CM Punk, and maybe debatably even then, Taker has taken on heavily, heavily established and very over wrestlers. Shawn Michaels twice, Triple H twice, Brock Lesnar.
Booker Lesnar.
Lesnar T.
You know, Ric Flair, people like that. And so it's always been a loss to The Undertaker was something that a loss at WrestleMania wasn't going to kill these people's momentum. And that's not necessarily the case with Wyatt. Like Tim said, if Wyatt loses, it's not really clear where he's going to go to from here. In fact, that could deflate the character.
Well, now to your point too, the thing is not that you lose to Undertaker WrestleMania, but when it's somebody, look at the guys, you know, before Shawn and Flair and things like that. It's been the rub you get from being in the match with him. You know, Randy lost, but, you know, that match, I mean, that really helped propel him just being in it. And that's what you expect. Like, even if that was a thing for me over the years. We knew he was going to win every year, but you knew you'd see a clinic and it was going to be the best match on the show.
Right.
And it always was until last year. And debatably the Punk one. But, that's the thing. That's why I'm not expecting. I don't think it's going to be the best match on the show. But I mean, hopefully we'll get, I think it'll be entertaining. I think those two guys, that's where they shine. Taker very good at getting crowd reaction and Bray Wyatt getting just being weird and keeping people interested throughout the match, which, I mean, Taker also works best when he has someone in there who can bump around and do everything that, you know, to Tim's point, that he can't do. Right. Even at his age now, I mean, after last, yeah, Lesnar can throw people around, you know, Triple H sells like a motherfucker, and Shawn just bumps like crazy. You know what? Bray is good, but I don't expect him to, you know, take another big dive over the top rope or things like that.
Yeah.
But crazier things have happened.
What I'm hearing from you, Darren and Tim, and I think myself, is what this ultimately seems to be boiling down to is whether or not last year was an anomaly. Can Taker deliver like he has the 5 years prior, or are we going to get a repeat of last year? Did you say that's a fair assessment?
Well, I mean, it was just the nature of the match last year. It just wasn't very good.
I agree.
You know, I'm trying to
encapsulate the two sides of the discussion. Simply, that's all.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, like you said, it's the storytelling of the match. I mean, if the story is just I'm going to beat the shit out of you for an hour or for 30 minutes or so, you know, that's the crowd's not going to respond as well. If you've got this back and forth battle, mm-hmm. I just don't see that from these. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to have Bray beat down the Undertaker. I mean, how many you guys know better than me. Is that Bray's thing? Has he been dominating people?
No.
Raw, you know, he does a weird psychological match, right? Mm-hmm. So this is supposed to be like a psychological battle. Look, if you're going to compare it to anything, compare it to like Foley and Undertaker's matches. You're not going to expect a wrestling clinic there.
That's true.
But you're going to get the weirdness and the craziness of Mankind versus nothing scares or stops the Undertaker. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm hoping out of this, is we get some, you know, stuff that hopefully isn't like boogeyman wacky out of Bray, and more, you know, okay, he's getting to, you know, Taker's psyche. Maybe hopefully we'll see something like that, but I'm not expecting like crazy moves and you know, a technical marvel. So that's what I'm trying to get. I hope that answers your question.
Very much so. Thank you.
It's tough to say. I was just going to just Anna, it's tough to say what the storyline of the Undertaker is when they only check in on it once a year.
Yeah.
So it's tough to gauge which direction he's going in. Is he going to bounce back this year? Are they telling the story of the Undertaker's decline, and then he's going to have some? And he's so year to year with whether he's going to continue wrestling or not. It's just like, it's tough to guess. But I would not be surprised at all if Bray won.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it makes sense to have Taker win, so that's my...
Yeah. Well, I also...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I also look at the card, and it's like, well, okay, you know, if we're thinking Cena's going to win, I'm sure we probably think Sting's going to win, and who knows what's going to happen in the main event. But, you know, they're going to... It's like I texted you last year, Robert, after Cena won, that I thought something crazy was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then something crazy happened.
Yep, it did.
Just because that careful balance between good guys and bad guys winning matches. Who knows? Yeah. I could see that winning.
As an unyielding Undertaker fan, I really have to say I wish he had retired last year. I mean, I don't like him going out on a loss, but like Darren has said repeatedly, he really did not look up to it last year, and I think they should have just called it there.
Yeah, well, what you do in wrestling is go out on a loss, generally.
You, usually you give the next guy the torch, or you come back and you hand it over. And that's been tradition. And, you know, I know Hunter's big on tradition, so I wouldn't be surprised.
And Taker, for sure.
I think, Tim, you made another good point I wanted to say something about. Yeah, great point, Tim. Like, sometimes you have to – I know we're going match by match, you have to kind of view it as they do, as a whole show. You know, they book as a show. Like, we have beats. We want this match to go out and get everybody fired up. Then there's going to be this match. And then here's the lull. And then we bring them back up, bring them down again, and then up for the main event. And unfortunately for the wrestlers involved, that's not always great. But, you know, that's why you usually have the women's match – second or third towards the end, which is unfortunate for them.
I was about to say, I'm sure they're gonna throw out that Divas tag match right after the Undertaker match.
So it is, you're right, Tim, you do have to kind of keep that in mind, so that's a good point.
All right, who we got left?
We got Sting versus Triple H, which is the dream matchup that everybody's been waiting for
forever,
and a half decades, right?
Who?
I never thought we'd see the day.
Sting and Triple H.
Oh, right. Yeah, that
terrorizing
one.
Terrorizing and Sting.
Yeah, finally Terrorizing is going to get his revenge on Sting.
I mean,
from some
first
Saturday night main event match in 1992.
When I first heard about this, I made a joke that, and I, you know, I didn't research it enough, but I was, these two might have met up at some point back in NWA, WCW days. So it's kind of a rematch of sorts.
Yeah, of sorts.
Yeah.
No, somebody from, I think it was Nerd Chair Shot or something, some Facebook group online, actually posted a picture of the two of them were headlining some Arsenal match.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, like 79 or something.
Yeah.
Terrorizing versus whatever Sting was wrestling under that day.
Right, with this giant Ric Flair
like
hair.
Blade Runner, whatever.
Yeah, Blade Runner Sting. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, that was funny.
I really am not wanting to see a wrestling match because I honestly don't think Sting can wrestle that well. I would love them to get up into the match, to have the bell ring, and have Sting take out the bat and just beat on Triple H for 5 minutes. I'd be very happy with that. I don't even want to see these guys lock up. I don't even know why Sting is here. It doesn't make any sense. He's after, like, Justice, which, okay. I mean,
I believe the idea is that he...
please tell us.
Well, I believe the idea is that he saw what poor management did to WCW, so he's trying to take care of the poor management in WWE.
So he's some kind of, like, management consultant?
Yes.
With a bat.
With a bat.
So isn't that hilarious, though?
When your company's not making money, this is the guy they call in to clear house.
Right. So the storyline is that the company is doing terribly. So he has to come in and stop it from failing.
Yeah, that's why
he... How does that make sense?
Like Office Space.
That's why he showed up and, helped win the Survivor Series match. And, you know, he's been fighting against the authority.
Right.
Because he doesn't want WWE to go the way of WCW.
But apparently only, like, once a season, so he's not that committed.
That's only when, it truly matters. Like when Randy Orton's going to get beat up.
Is this sort of like how the Voltron Force doesn't form Voltron until the very last minute? They're always like, no, the Lions can totally handle it this time.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, my goodness.
Either way, Sting wins. And that's what happens.
Yes.
I think he has to. I mean, it...
Why, if he lost, then why did you even do this?
Yeah, like, it doesn't.
Yeah, we need to get Triple H over with somebody.
I'm afraid it'll be like the Bret Hart Vince McMahon match from a few WrestleManias ago.
Oh God,
that was just painful to watch.
It was.
That's what I'm afraid of, because I've never really been that familiar with Sting. What I have seen of him just never really impressed me that much, and I'm afraid that he can't wrestle. I don't know. He might be great. I couldn't say.
And that's a shame. Like, even if look at 52 or whatever he is, even if he can't do what he used to do, but. You know, it's really too bad that they couldn't make him the star that he was. And again, it's the nature of what they were doing week to week with him. And then they did that stupid dubbed voice, all these ridiculous things. Again, this is very easy. You do the same thing that got him over, 15 years ago.
He stands in the rafters and he points.
Yeah, and the silence is what's great because it's the buildup. He doesn't do anything. Until the big moment. Of course, they ruined that. But this was a chance again to do it again better. Mm-hmm. And they did a poor job of making him a big main attraction. This could have been the biggest thing on the card.
Agreed.
But again,
he seemed like a pretty big deal on Raw last week.
He's not at the level.
Well, I think he's basically been invisible for the past 15 years. So,
exactly.
Like, yeah, it's.
That's what I'm getting at.
You look at your, you know, if you're a lot of your WWE fans are young kids between the ages of 10 and 15 or younger, even they don't know who the fuck Sting is.
Yeah, and that's why I'm surprised they didn't do any like packages. Like, here's who he is. Here's what's happening. Here's mm-hmm. where he's been and what he meant.
To piggyback on Darren's point, the only time we've had really seen Sting in anything have been in connection to the Ultimate Warrior's death. He was very vivid on a bunch of those videos.
They've got a whole network full of them. And, I mean, that's the other thing. I know you guys probably never watched TNA, but he was a bigger star there than he is now.
Watch what?
TNA. Exactly. Your jokes are just killing it today, Rob. but he wasn't. And he was having great matches there, too. But I think they just, you know, they dropped the ball on him.
Man. Bubba Ray Dudley was a big star in TNA. I know he got a lot better, but just like, seriously. Yeah.
Where did he go? He came back just for the Rumble.
Apparently.
Yeah, it was.
Then
it
disappeared
was just
back into the ether.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like a thing we can get in on? Can we just like appear for the Rumble for one match? And then...
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't think you have his,
what's
his
up?
resume. Nowadays, who knows? Might not take much.
Well, if they hold a Rumble at the Gaylord, that's our home turf.
You know, there we go.
We'd get a pop.
That's true.
Set it up right in that Santa's Village. That people could dive off the balcony.
Hell yeah.
Get a bunch of like anime cosplayers to be in that. That'd be great.
Oh, boy.
It just turns into kaiju at that point.
Is that the bad thing?
Or Chikara.
So, yeah, Sting wins, and Sting wins.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sting in the bat.
Bat all right. Now, now we got our main event, and that's all that's left, which is your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar, versus Brock Lesnar.
There you go.
Lesnar, I think, is how.
Versus Roman Reigns.
That was also said correctly.
I didn't mean to do that on purpose.
That's how they should announce him, I think, in general.
The ghost of the Shield versus... So I'm not thrilled with this main event. I think this WrestleMania is way more compelling, and Robert would disagree because he doesn't like Daniel Bryan. If you just switch where Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are on this card, I think it's way more interesting.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The main event. Okay, he's with me. Awesome.
Just to clarify what I don't like about Daniel Bryan, I haven't liked the work he's been doing recently.
Oh.
It's been his matches have seemed very, very formula, and I attribute this to the injury. I mean, I don't like blame him.
It is, yeah.
I think his matches have been very formulaic. You haven't been seeing his just superb grappling skills. You haven't seen him, you know, doing some of his crazier stuff. It's mostly been him kicking people in the chest and running around and giving flying knees and flying drop kicks, which is fine.
Truth.
But that's all he's been doing of late.
True.
If he could prove his Dean Malenko kind of resume, and he could against somebody like Lesnar, that'd be fantastic.
Such a good match.
That'd be a great match. It'd be,
I still,
you know, 200-pound disadvantage.
Yeah. No matter what happens here, I still would love to see a Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar match. Holy
Amen,
shit,
brother!
But yeah, so Roman Reigns, he is the chosen dude. There was a friend of ours.
I don't think "chosen" is the right word.
It's more like they eat your broccoli,
last summer, Darren, I was talking to Jaquan, and I explained to him, I'm like. Yeah, so what I told him, like, well, what I've heard is they're going to have Roman Reigns win the Rumble and fight Lesnar for the title at Mania. And he thought I was fucking insane.
Oh, well, he should have signed on to the internet.
And lo, here we are. And even before the Royal Rumble, I thought to myself, man, Reigns is just not that over with a significant segment of the audience. They would be totally stupid to have him win the Rumble and screw it up 2 years in a row.
No, well, I think I had the same conversation with him too, Tim. And they wanted to do this a long time ago. Even before I stopped watching for a while, they were like, they want Reigns and Lesnar.
Well, let me try to defend them slightly for a minute here. If they had kept Reigns as this Goldberg-esque behemoth, standing in the background, not really cutting promos, or when he does cut promos, they're pretty monosyllabic, I think it would have been a different matter. if it had come down to, and I think I talked to you about this, Tim, at the Royal Rumble, if it had come down to Kane and Big Show and Rusev versus Reigns, and Reigns just beat the hell out of them and won with sheer guts and moxie, I think it would have been a totally different matter. If they kept him as the monolithic, silent, brooding powerhouse, I could really be on board with this match. But they've undermined the character. They undermined him by having The Rock save him. They undermined him by having him cut those terrible promos and by having him act all wishy-washy.
I think they just tried. I don't dislike Roman Reigns at all.
Agreed.
If he had won the Rumble last year, that would have been crazy. I would have been totally behind that because it would have been really unexpected. Uh-huh. But just like, it just, yeah, they tried to, they made it a little too obvious where they were going, and I don't think people were ready for it. Like, it works better when, you know, a babyface is coming up and they're the underdog, but he didn't seem like the underdog quite so much when he was going into the Rumble. And before that, it was obvious they were, like, since the Shield broke up, that it was like, okay, we're going to put him in title matches right away.
Right.
And I don't think that worked. Like, they have to use, like, reverse psychology. They have to keep him, they have to make it seem like they're holding him down.
Right.
So that people will get behind him.
Well, again, yeah. I'm going to go back to the Goldberg comparison. Goldberg won like 30 matches before he had his first title shot.
Oh, hell, it was way more than that.
But that's what I mean. They just, it was, you know, for 6 months, it was just this shaved ape comes out, spears this dude, jackhammers, and that's it for, you know, 6 months.
Yeah, it was great.
They should have kept that with Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Also, the problem, again, is them trying to do the lightning in a bottle thing.
Yeah.
And it look at the difference in the past 2 years of an organic thing that happened with Daniel Bryan, with the crowd getting behind him, basically putting him in that spot, and them saying, here, this is the guy. We're putting him in every situation to make him the guy, and that's where he's going to be. And you can't, what Robert said, you can't tell that story without having something there. I mean, that's the thing. It's not that they boo him. They're certainly not cheering him, but there's just no reaction. And that's the worst thing you could want. Mm-hmm.
I think another part of the problem is when they broke up the Shield, Seth Rollins, you know, changed, started doing his own thing. Dean Ambrose changed, started doing his own thing. And Reigns became like Shield light. He kept the music, he kept the entrance, he kept the catchphrase. They tried to just have him, everyone remember the Shield? He's still the Shield. Whereas, you know, these other characters went under transformations, and I think are, you know, in my opinion, way more developed than Reigns is, like in a huge ways.
That is, yeah. Great point. And let me make another comparison, is Batista. Now look, when Evolution split up, Dave went on and he got over, and he had really great matches down the road too. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is he had a Ric Flair going around touring with him and teaching him and helping him all the way. He didn't have that with somebody like Reigns. Mm-hmm. You know,
Mercury's been helping him out.
Okay, well, all right. So, they're kind of the same. Maybe he should have fought Taker. But that's what's lacking. You know, you don't have somebody like that as a mentor. You know, you can't just trot out The Rock and be like, cheer him, this guy. And
they tried that.
I know, yeah. But exactly look, if you tried. Had the two of them as a tag team for a while and, you know, Rock showing him stuff and teaching him and sculpting him along the way, you didn't have that. You just have go out there, do your moves, and, you know, raise your arms up and hopefully they'll cheer you. Right. And we'll put you in that spot. You know, and then they always blame the guy. They're always like, well, this guy's not getting over. We got to squash it. You know, it's his fault.
Right.
So yeah, again, I'm not expecting look, I don't even know if you guys want to talk about all the contract stuff with Lesnar as to the outcome of this match either.
I don't think Lesnar's actually leaving.
Well, they're going to wait to make the offer of the deal till after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, it wouldn't make any sense to make an offer before, because that gives him leverage, you know. So they're going to wait till after the match, whether they And it's all, you know, whether he's going to do UFC or not.
He's not going back to the UFC.
I think he'd be insane to go back to the UFC.
He couldn't get medical clearance to.
Why would he? It's been 3 years out. Like, he's not going to be able to compete at the highest level. He'd be able to get some nice paydays, but it's just like, right now he works, 12 nights a year, and 9 of them he spends standing around looking tough next to Paul Heyman. Like,
but he's got, like, multiple things on the table. Like, he could go back to Bellator. You know,
he wouldn't do that. They don't have enough money for him.
No, he would. He can go there and beat the crap out of Kimbo Slice.
He might be willing to, and Bellator and the UFC might be willing to sign him. They could not get an athletic commission anywhere in the country to sign off on putting him in a match.
That's not true.
It would not happen.
I don't think Bellator has enough money for him.
UFC's doing the MSG show, and I know that's something that he would want. And that's the New York market. That's like their big chance to get UFC.
Not after he had part of his intestines removed due to diverticulitis.
That's the argument, Robert. He look at what he did when he had the problem. So his thing is, now I don't have that issue. I don't have that injury anymore, and look what I can do without it. He's been wrestling the past years. He hasn't been fighting.
Totally different matter. You don't need to have medical clearance for wrestling.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't have a problem with medical clearance. He could get cleared tomorrow.
He had medical clearance after he had his intestines removed, some of it.
Exactly.
Because
it's a non-issue, the clearance.
I just don't think he would.
Let's just jump back for a second to the actual match.
Yeah, the match.
I would enjoy, because I don't, like everybody else, I'm really not, I like Reigns, but I really don't like the direction this whole thing has gone. And I personally think the best case scenario is for a repeat of the Royal Rumble or SummerSlam or whatever it was, where he just suplexed John Cena for 15 minutes and called it a night. I think that would be the best. What I would enjoy is for Reigns going on Darren's ghost shield or shield light, is for Reigns to come out of this broken and dejected and despondent, and to have Bray Wyatt reform the Wyatt family, starting with Reigns.
Oh man, that would be cool.
I know. Do it like the whole cult leader, you know, recruiting the heartbroken. That'd be fantastic. We could see the formation of a whole new faction.
What was I going to say? Yeah. I mean, I guess if Brock Lesnar's contract is still up in the air, it seems unlikely that he would retain at all. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he wins. The obvious, you know, usual WrestleMania storyline that goes on is the up and coming babyface wins at the Royal Rumble. They take their journey down the road to WrestleMania, and then they win the title. At WrestleMania. That's kind of been the storyline for 15 years. They have diverted from that from time to time.
Yes. Absolutely.
That is not always the case. The heel does win in the main event of WrestleMania on occasion.
I could see that.
But the thing is, with a WrestleMania crowd, they might be behind Brock Lesnar. He's been, you know.
Oh, they will.
He's been getting a lot more, cheers and support lately, because people are remembering, like, oh right, Brock Lesnar is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mania's always a smart crowd.
Maybe that's why it's not in New York this year.
What is that? Was that another joke or what?
No, actually, it was actually okay. Maybe they went to a place that's atypical.
You mean instead of the Garden or what?
Yeah.
They want the gate. You know, the Garden's too small. They want to do attendance numbers now. You know, eventually they want to try and fill the Coliseum. Mm. So, Tim, yeah, I agree. And well, that was the reason I brought up all that contract stuff, because I do think everything you said is right about their, you know, typical storyline stuff. But the nature of this decision kind of depends on whether he signs again or not. Because I could see them, you know, if he's going to leave, they could also have him win the match and then have Lesnar lose it the next night.
I don't see that.
It's a possibility.
They haven't had
you
Lesnar.
You know, they had that big, him and Vince had that big blow up recently, right?
Oh, yeah. But, like, they haven't had Lesnar actually perform on TV since he came back.
Well, that's the thing. They gave him $5 million last year for, mm-hmm. like, 20 appearances. What's he looking for? Like, I don't think they're going to give him $6 million. especially with what they lost. So that's why I'm saying it's very likely he could be a free agent when he's done.
I've said my piece. I just don't think he's going to go back to Ultimate Fighting because it's just he's too old at this point. He's been out of it for too long. He's not going to be able to compete with the top of the field. He'd be able to get some good paydays. But
yeah, it's the money.
I
agree with everything you're saying.
He is all about the money. That is
That's where we're disagreeing. I agree with everything you're saying, but he is money and he is impulsive, and that's why
he's also
does
impulsive.
These things.
But
yeah.
I mean,
so I mean, I think having Reigns win it, you know, and then that's probably going to lead to what they do next pay per view or SummerSlam. They're probably going to put him in with Show, or have Rollins finally try to cash in.
Well, that is what I've been thinking was going to happen at WrestleMania for, God, upwards of, I don't know, since like SummerSlam.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I think that they have wanted to do a WrestleMania cash-in for a long time. I remember years and years ago, there was supposedly a plan that Jeff Hardy was going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, then cash his way into the main event. But then he had some, you know, wellness violation because he's Jeff Hardy. And got taken out of the card, and I think that's the year that Edge won a second time, or Punk won, or something. Either way, I could see a situation where either of them win. I think it would be bad to have Reigns win and then Rollins cash in on him.
No, just, that would be stupid.
Well, let me say, because it's to me, it's too similar to when they had Daniel Bryan win and then Randy Orton cash in on him immediately. But in this case, you have the old Shield storyline, so it wouldn't be as bad. But I like the idea of Lesnar and Reigns having, you know, a hellacious match and beating the hell out of each other. And Lesnar wins, and then Rollins comes out to cash in on Brock, but beats Brock after he's already been fighting for 20 minutes, because Rollins is such an ass. He'll sit there and boast about it, like any good heel should, just be like, oh, I beat Brock Lesnar clean one-on-one, of course leaving out the whole, you know, he'd already fought a match, et cetera, et cetera, sort of thing. But I think there's a real possibility that Rollins cashes in on the main event.
Yeah.
And as a smart crowd, it would still be letting the crowd go home happy. I feel like he is... Like, as much as they see Reigns as the guy, they also see Rollins as a guy. As a guy, like, who's going to be that heel for the next, you know, 10 years or whatever. Just because he's such a slippery asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they need somebody like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rule it out. I mean, it definitely could happen. But, first of all, the reason I think it could happen is because they love having shocking moments because they like to be trending on Twitter and everything. And that's exactly the reaction they got out of the Taker loss last year, is it just blew up on social media. So this maybe wouldn't have the same effect, but they like to have those big shocking moments. Now, they also like having that tradition of one guy wins the match, the story of the match, one of them comes out and they have a clear decisive winner in the main event of the show as it goes off the air. So that's maybe the reason why I don't know if they'd have the cash in on the main event of their biggest show of the year, but I'm not going to say it couldn't happen because they're crazy.
Well, they haven't done it before. It's something different.
I know. Yeah. So that's, I think you're perfectly valid suggesting it, but I think my guess is they might do something with it tomorrow night, or in the near future with the cash-in. But I would say they're probably going to have Reigns come out and win it. At this point, I don't know what's going to happen between now and Mania. But I think it makes – for the story of what they've been telling the past couple weeks.
Let me offer this suggestion that maybe the Money in the Bank is a safety valve. Reigns wins. The fans are booing because they're so pissed off. So Seth Rollins comes out to cash in on him to take some of the heat off and to redirect from the fact that the guy everybody didn't want to win, you know, wins, and to rewrite the ending of the story. You have the same safety valve if Lesnar wins and the audience isn't behind it. The Money in the Bank becomes a way to placate the fans if things don't go the way the story wants.
It's tough to say. There's a lot of history, you know, with the WrestleMania main event and how they end it and choose to end it. And a cash-in would certainly be different. I think about going into that Raw after WrestleMania and what looks best opening the show. Is it Roman Reigns coming out and getting booed out of the building? Or is it, you know, Rollins coming out and acting all smug?
It's tough. I mean, look, if they want to just send everyone home happy, they're going to, you know, Lesnar winning, they're going to get a huge pop and everyone's going to cheer. So,
it's weird. I just,
it's tough. There's a, who knows? Maybe they'll call an audible.
Yeah. There's a real possibility. I think this year more than in years past. And usually lately, the Money in the Bank briefcase hasn't been floating around this time of year. Everyone thought Ziggler was going to cash in at Mania that one year, but then he did it the night after. So I don't know. It could just be
cash in and lose. Yeah.
No,
I don't think Rollins loses.
You might.
I don't think so.
Isn't Cena the only person to ever lose cashing in?
Sandow lost cashing in.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a former world champion. Remember he cashed in on Cena like at the beginning of a Raw, like really randomly?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then he disappeared for, you know, a few months and reemerged as the guy who plays the character every week and blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the same predictable thing. It might not, but who knows? We'll see on Sunday.
I think it could be also maybe have Reigns win this, and I think have Rollins win it tomorrow night, the next night.
Mm. Well, I think whatever ends up happening, we can be safe to assume that tomorrow will be a new day.
New day?
New day?
Yeah, I just hope it's a good show.
Yeah.
I feel like on paper it's not as exciting to me as last year's was. But last year was a hell of a damn show. So
Yeah.
It's a tough act to follow.
Unfortunately I don't think I hope I'm wrong. I always, as much as I don't really care for the WWE, I want them to do well. I don't think it's gonna be a very good show. It does not look good on paper. I think we'll get a couple good matches out of it.
I think the, you know, build aside, I feel like they always actually, you know, they get it together for the actual show, but we'll see.
Not always.
But
hopefully they go off the momentum of last year.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this little preview, this hour and a half preview of WrestleMania. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope nothing happens on Raw tonight that throws everything we just said out of whack.
Yeah, what the? Do a whole new podcast.
Yeah, they just do some Raw roulette and switch up all the matches, move around all the guys.
Right, yes.
Completely
now they
screw it up.
Open with Taker and Nikki Bella.
Sure, yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everything will be all out of whack.
Sting is in the Battle Royal instead, as is Brock Lesnar, who just picks up the ring and flips it over and wins.
And then he eats the trophy.
Yeah.
That's how we got them.
That would be the best idea ever.
Well, like, hopefully they're listening.
The Raw before WrestleMania, just okay, and it's Rusev versus, you know, Lesnar for the Intercontinental Championship. Like, okay,
not a title that either of them are holding.
Right, but whatever. All right,
sure.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
It was fun. Right. Glad I got to interact with Robert, too.
Glad I could set up that interaction for you.
Yeah,
appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, and we will enjoy the show, or maybe not.
We will try.
Hopefully.